Page 12, Cauldron Opinion. Okay. Appeal 053007, Gutnick versus Gonzalez. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Aldini Poterman?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can I pronounce that?
Poterman.
Poterman, okay, thank you.
No, thank you. May it please the court. My name is Maria Baldini Poterman, and I represent petitioner Ilya Gutnick. Mr. Gutnick is a 27-year-old man from the Ukraine. On August 27th of 1993, at the age of 15, he entered the United States as a refugee with his parents and younger brother, who also came as refugees. His parents, brother, and paternal grandparents are all naturalized citizens. Mr. Gutnick, however, became addicted to heroin as a result of the persecution suffered in the Ukraine as a child and a teenager and resulting low self-esteem. He was placed in removal proceedings based on his convictions for misdemeanor retail theft, possession of drug paraphernalia, and an Illinois offense for possession of 0.4 grams of heroin, for which he received 1410 probation or first offender probation. He turned his life around and became a drug counselor to other young addicts. He's resided in the U.S. for 13 years. The immigration judge below granted him withholding of removal based on a finding of past persecution on account of his Jewish religion and nationality, as well as the clear probability of future persecution if he were returned to the Ukraine. The Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed the decision of the immigration judge, and the Department of Homeland Security concurred in its brief to the board that Mr. Gutnick deserved withholding of removal.
Now, of course, the government has conceded that in light of Gonzalez-Gomez versus Ashim,
the government has conceded that he is no longer an aggravated felon under its holding,
right,
or this court's holding in Gonzalez-Gomez versus Achim. So the remaining issues before this court are, one, whether the board and the immigration judge erred in finding that Mr. Gutnick's status as a refugee was terminated when he adjusted his status under 8 U.S.C. 1159A, the adjustment of status provision for persons who are admitted to the U.S. as refugees, and when he became a permanent resident. The second issue is whether he is now statutory eligible for adjustment of status with a waiver based on the evidence and the finding by the immigration judge that he remains a refugee, having been granted withholding under the clear probability of persecution standard.
What purpose would it serve to allow Mr. Gutnick to adjust his status if he is already a lawful permanent resident?
Your Honor, his permanent residence status was actually terminated by the immigration judge when he was ordered removed. Withholding of removal does not allow him to remain in the U.S. as a lawful permanent resident. It merely withholds his removal to the country of the Ukraine. The Department of Homeland Security can work to obtain his removal to any other country who is willing to accept him.
I thought it means that you wait until country conditions change in the Ukraine. That's not correct?
Well, Your Honor, the Department of Homeland Security at any time can bring a motion to the at this point it would be to the Board of Immigration Appeals to reopen the case for a decision on whether or not the conditions remain such that he should not be returned.
Isn't that what usually happens? That you withholding of removal only means, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it meant that you can't go back to the Ukraine now. It's too dangerous. And later on, if things change, then the government would come in and, in effect, to revoke the withholding of removal.
The government itself can't just come in and revoke it. For example, the Department of Homeland Security can't act on its own. Under the regulations, as prescribed by the Attorney General, an actual motion has to be filed with the immigration court or the board, which lasts for the case.
I thought what you were saying is, they could just send them to Brazil or something if that's what they want to do.
Your Honor, they could under the order.
But do they?
As a practical matter, Your Honor, I'm not aware of persons who have been sent to Brazil who have been granted withholding to the Ukraine. But There was another case before this court where someone was ordered deported to one country and in fact got deported to Gaza instead of the country to which deportation was actually ordered.
Well,
under the
That's not exactly correct. And that's not exactly correct. But go ahead.
But regardless of the fact that he's been granted withholding, because of his heroin conviction, he is permanently barred from applying for permanent residency on the basis of a visa petition that could be filed by his U.S. citizen parents. Because he is not eligible for a waiver under 8 U.S.C. Section 1182H.
As he said here today, he is a lawful permanent resident, is he not?
No, he is not, Your Honor. The immigration judge terminated his permanent residency, and the board upheld that order. He is no longer a lawful permanent resident.
But the government has conceded now that on the basis of the Gonzalez-Gomez case that he is eligible for asylum. And in fact, the asylum standard has been met by virtue of the decision on withholding of removal, as I understand the standards. And so is there any practical or legal consequence to any of a decision on any of these additional issues, the eligibility for a waiver of inadmissibility, et cetera? Do any of those make any practical or legal difference anymore, given
the
concession?
Yes, Your Honor. There are some differences, and I'm glad you asked that question. When a refugee adjusts status under Section 1159A of the Act, the admission as a permanent resident backdates to the actual admission to the country as a refugee. So if this were to be remanded and he were granted adjustment of status with a waiver under 1159A, his permanent residency would in fact be reinstated as of August 27, 1993.
And that would not happen with a favorable asylum decision?
With a favorable asylum decision, Your Honor, he would have to wait a year from the time the asylum is granted. After that point, then he applies for adjustment of status with a waiver, but the backdating of his permanent residency goes to 1 year before the date of the application for adjustment of status.
Well, what's the practical problem?
The practical effect, Your Honor, is that if he were granted adjustment of status with a waiver, he would immediately be eligible for citizenship if he were granted the adjustment as a refugee. If he's granted adjustment of status based on asylum, it'll be at least another 6 to 7 years before he could theoretically apply for naturalization as a United States citizen. His last offense for which he was convicted was May 10th of 2001. So he now has 5 years of good moral character and would be eligible for naturalization. The other issue that's a practical matter is that until May 11th of 2001, when Congress passed the Real ID Act, there had been a $10,000 per year asylee adjustment cap that was enacted in Congress in the statute. So as of last May, there was more than a 10-year backlog for asylee applications for adjustment of status to be granted. And that backlog at this point is still being worked through. Mr. Gutnick remains a refugee within the definition of the Act. The other point that Your Honor brought up was that the government has conceded that he's eligible for asylum and has therefore met the standard. The government, however, in its brief did not concede that he should be granted asylum. They did not address the discretionary factors that would pertain to a favorable exercise of discretion below. So in effect, it would still be whether he'd be granted asylum would be subject to the different standards that the judge looks at. Those standards are different than the waiver that's available under 209C or 1159C. The waiver standard for an adjustment of a refugee or an asylee adjustment application is for family unity, humanitarian purposes, or public interest. The standards under which asylum can be granted and the exercise of discretion include a weighing of one's criminal history and basically looking at the person's entire life in exercising discretion. In this case, Mr. Gutnick has extremely strong family ties. His parents, his brother, his grandparents are naturalized citizens, his maternal grandparents are permanent residents, and he has absolutely no ties left to the Ukraine to which he could be returned. So under the statute, that as it's written, the only way that refugee status can actually be terminated is if the Attorney General were to find that he was not a bona fide refugee at the time of admission. The immigration judge found in his decision, which the board affirmed, that his refugee status terminated upon the granting of permanent residence. The statute, however, does not contain such language. And we would ask that this court find that Mr. Gutnik remains a refugee, that he's eligible for adjustment of status under 1159A, and also that his conviction for drug paraphernalia is not a deportable offense.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Valdini-Poderman. Thank you. Mr. Rocha? Rocha. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just start you right out. If Mr. Gutnik is eligible for asylum because his heroin conviction isn't an aggravated felony, why would we even need to remand at all? I mean, the IJ has already found him eligible for the more stringent withholding of removal. So isn't he necessarily entitled to asylum here?
That could probably be argued that he would necessarily be entitled to asylum. The issue is there are greater protections for asylum versus withholding of removal. And I also want to make sure that we're not completely conceding the Gonzalez-Gomez issue. As the court is aware, it's up in the Supreme Court right now, and we just filed our brief for the Supreme Court. So yes, we're conceding for the issue to be remanded, but understandably, it could turn out back in our favor of our original argument.
So do we have to remand?
Yes. We did ask a couple months ago to put the court in the case in abeyance, but I believe Judge Posner decided that wasn't a good idea.
Well, the court decided.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't a good idea.
Basically, I think what the court is concerned about regarding the 209C, the INA 209C waiver admissibility, essentially why petitioner wants 209C waiver admissibility is because that's not available under 245 adjustment of status, which really hasn't come up much. Essentially, petitioner has already, as you can look in the record, has already adjusted to lawful permanent resident status. And under the board's decision, the Smirko decision, he loses his refugee status, 207 refugee status.
Can you point to any explicit statutory language saying that a refugee permanently loses refugee status upon becoming a lawful permanent resident?
He doesn't permanently lose lawful refugee status, and that's not what our argument is either. He can regain refugee status, but it's a different type of refugee. It's a refugee status that he gained after the 240 hearing.
You see, I just can't get it. I'm just not getting something. How do you explain your claim that he can make a refugee claim under the asylum and withholding of removal provisions, but he's not a refugee who can apply for adjustment of status? I cannot get it.
Well, essentially, the problem is he came into the United States under 207, under INA 207, as a refugee, admitted as a refugee. Then he converted to lawful permanent resident status, and then that was taken away after the criminal convictions and the INA removal hearing.
Under that case that
right.
You mentioned, but you can't point to the explicit statutory language.
The explicit statutory language is not explicit, but if you look at 209 adjustment of status, it states that once you've adjusted, see, I have the language right here. You couldn't have you've not acquired permanent resident status beforehand if you entered as a 207 refugee and you're asking to adjust status under 209, which is the sole method you can adjust status if you enter as a refugee under 207. He can still attempt to adjust status separately, completely separately, under 245 following his asylum hearing, which has already taken place. The reason why they don't want to try to adjust under that, which is the next logical step, is because there is no waiver admissibility for the criminal acts, which are available under 209. That's what the practical reason why they are appealing this issue.
I interrupted you. Do you remember where you were when I did that?
I don't think I ever started. essentially, what I wanted to go back to the Smirko decision, which does...
Before you do that, I do have one... Before you do that, let me interrupt my interruption. Is it your contention that even if Mr. Gutnick were able to prove that the only relationship to a controlled substance that his paraphernalia conviction bore was to 30 grams or less of marijuana, he would still be removable?
Our position is that the fact that this is a separate issue, by the way, that the drug paraphernalia, his conviction for possession of drug paraphernalia, constitutes a crime relating to a controlled substance, as under the Lulli decision, the Ninth Circuit. It's very clear that relating to is a very broad, should be interpreted very broadly. And in fact, the Lulli decision is essentially the same issue before the court right now. And we ask the court to follow that.
Who has the burden of proving the conviction related to the personal use marijuana exception?
As far as the 30 grams, is that what you're getting? I think it's DHS's burden to prove that he was convicted of a drug paraphernalia conviction, not that he wasn't. That's all that's before the court is, was he convicted of the crime, the Illinois statute, which states, knowing possession of an item of drug paraphernalia with intent to use it, ingesting, inhaling, otherwise introducing cannabis or controlled substance for that use. There's no stipulation about whether that controlled substance was in fact used, and that's irrelevant under the INA. And because the INA states an alien who's convicted of any violation of state, United States or foreign law after admission relating to a controlled substance other than the mere possession of 30 grams, that's the only limitation. That is not what he was convicted of, and that's not what falls into exception of the INA. And we ask, the Ninth Circuit and Lulli construed this language very broadly. There's a lot of case citations there which essentially state that relating to should be construed very broadly. There are very few exceptions that have been drawn out in case law, such as misprision of controlled substances. And
where is Lulli now?
Where is Lulli? It's still controlling good law in the Ninth Circuit.
Right.
Yes, it's in the Ninth.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah. Well, this is. We understand it's not. But it's persuasive authority to this court. And
so, it's the government's argument then on this issue of the drug paraphernalia conviction that the government can deport an alien or cannot deport an alien for possession of 29 grams of marijuana, but can deport an alien for possession of a marijuana pipe that may or may not have been used to smoke 29 or 30 or 31
right. It's grams just of for marijuana. The intent, according to the Illinois law, for the intent to use
any amount.
Right, any amount. And concerning...
But the statute contains an exclusion for a certain amount of marijuana.
Right, but the exclusion is for the possession of a certain marijuana. I'm not going to try to explain what Congress was thinking, but this is what the plain language of the
or
statutory law...
That just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense at all.
It's so senseless that it's...
The plain language of the INA states that if you're convicted of any crime that's relating to a controlled substance other than the mere possession of 30 grams or less of marijuana, then that's a removable offense. And that's what Congress, the plain language of the statute is that's what Congress stated, and his drug paraphernalia conviction falls under that statute. And we ask that you follow the Ninth Circuit's decision in Lulli and its broad interpretation relating to the controlled substance.
Was there anything more? Because you've been interrupted a lot.
Oh, no. I wanted to see if I didn't feel like I got to fully explain the waiver admissibility issue, and if I don't know if there are still any questions about that.
Go ahead, fully explain.
Okay, I'll attempt to. I know it's not an easy subject. We ask that you defer. Once again, you have to remember that there's Chevron deference to the board's decisions. Even though there's de novo review, Chevron deference to the board's decisions, even if this court does not agree with the board's conclusion of the INA, we should still defer so long as the decision is not arbitrary or capricious. And the board did cite in Smirko that somebody, an alien who entered as a 207, is no longer considered a refugee. And that was supported by statutory language and legislative history. The statutory language stated that there was no formal termination process needed. That was argued by the alien in Smirko and also argued in the opening brief in this case. Secondly, the legislative history, if you look at that, shows that that a refugee and lawful permanent resident are exclusive statuses. If you look at the citation in our own brief, that citation of Senator Ted Kennedy, I believe, states that refugee status, quote-unquote, ends once you become a lawful permanent resident. So those are two separate statuses. So we ask that based on that statutory language, the board's interpretation, that you should defer to the board's interpretation of the INA under the Chevron deference. If there are no further questions, I'll... Thank you. We ask that you deny the petition review with respect to the two issues, the possession of drug paraphernalia, which we quickly would note that the heroin possession conviction is also a removable offense, separate, which is stated in our brief, separate than the controlled substance violation of the possession of drug paraphernalia.
So do we even need to get to the construction of the drug paraphernalia count?
My understanding is... No, I don't want to say for sure, but okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honors, to address the question whether Mr. Gutna's permanent residence status was terminated, on page 16 of the immigration judge's decision, which is appendix 19 of our brief, it is hereby ordered that respondent's legal permanent residence status be terminated. And the board upheld the immigration judge's order. So there's, I believe, no question that he is no longer a permanent resident under the board's order, which affirmed the IJ. Regarding the issues of In re Smirko and Mr. Gutnick's case, in this case, looking at the timeline in which Mr. Gutnick's appeal was pending before the board completely punted the issue. In In re Smirko, the board never addressed the issue of readjustment under Section 209A with a waiver under 209C, because that issue was not before it. The issue that was before the board in Smirko was whether someone who is admitted as a refugee who became a permanent resident can be placed in removal proceedings. So it was basically a motion to terminate type of case. In that case, in the In re Smirko case, the alien never applied for asylum or withholding of removal because he didn't fear returning to his home country, Bosnia-Herzegovina. In this case, Mr. Gutnick does fear, and he proved that he has a clear probability of persecution.
So we're actually one step further in the process. His lawful permanent resident status was terminated, and that brings the refugee issue back to the surface?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor, because as when the board issued its decision, the decision terminating his residency became final. So as of today, as we stand here, he is not a lawful permanent resident. And so the 209A readjustment issue is properly before this court. In fact, the immigration judge issued his decision on May 7th of 2004. The Third Circuit, in a published decision, remanded the case of Smirko to the Board of Immigration Appeals. Mr. Gutnick filed his brief to the board referencing the Third Circuit's Smirko decision throughout his brief. The board never addressed his contentions regarding the Third Circuit case and that he remained a refugee and eligible for 209C. The board instead said that the immigration judge's decision was thoroughly reasoned, as you can see in the board's decision. The immigration judge in his decision never referenced any statutes or actually made a reasoned decision why Mr. Gutnik's refugee status was actually was terminated upon adjustment of status. So this issue is properly before this court, and we ask that this court find that Mr. Gutnik is eligible for adjustment of status as a refugee.
Is it your view that this, at the end of all of these arguments, is it your view that remand is necessary here?
Your Honor, I believe that remand would be necessary for the board and then the immigration judge to determine whether or not Mr. Gutnik merits a favorable exercise of discretion on an application for adjustment of status and a 209C waiver under 1159A. If this court were to remand, we would ask that it be remanded for that purpose, not just merely so that he can apply for asylum. Mr. Gutnik was never actually allowed to submit his application for adjustment of status and the waiver application because the immigration judge pre-terminated it, finding that he was statutorily ineligible to apply for adjustment of status. I see that I'm out of time, Your Honors.
Do you see anything else that we could do here other than remand?
Your Honors could also find that his conviction for possession of drug paraphernalia is not a deportable offense. While he is also deportable based on the two retail thefts and the 0.4 gram possession of heroin offense, in the broad scope of things, one of the considerations an immigration judge will look at is whether how many violations of the immigration law itself the person is deemed deportable for. And granted, he's deportable for two others, being crimes involving moral turpitude and the possession of a controlled substance, but we believe that he's not deportable for possession of drug paraphernalia because the service did not meet its burden under the Act or under Supreme Court precedent to prove that it was related to a controlled substance, or if it was marijuana, that it was more than 30 grams. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Baldini-Huderman and Mr. Rocha. The case will be taken under advisement. Thank you.